It is Election Day 2024. You know, we have been working our way toward this day for a long time. So many of you, like me, just frustrated with all of the crap that we've had to deal with during this campaign. In some ways, it's been entertaining. It's been exciting. But I'm not really proud of America right now. I'm not proud of really either side. And as I have said many times, I'm not proud of the way one side has degraded this country. And in an effort to make it seem like it's so bad in America, that America is a country that just sucks, they have degraded our country in hopes of winning the election. But I'm here to tell you, as a patriotic American, this is a great country. And I'm still going to be proud to be an American. And I think that you and I, those of us who have the ability to make things better, can make things better. And I think we can continue to call out the lies and not tolerate the lies. Vote for who you want to vote for, but don't tolerate the lies, especially the lies that lead to problems. I talk about where we are as a nation in the blog that I wrote. And in the blog that I wrote, in contrast to the way things are today, I end it by sharing those words from Ronald Reagan that he spoke to his voters and the country on the eve of Election Day 1980. And I want to share those with you again. It's part of my blog. But think about the stuff that's been said. Think about the things that we've talked about. The mocking of oral sex with a microphone, the stories, the ridiculous fantasy stories about immigrants eating pets and stories about killing babies after they've been born. None of it is true. The idea that there's election fraud going on has not been established in any way, shape or form. And so I think about how we have ventured into the darkness of politics. These are the dark ages of politics. So I want to take you back for just a moment. I did this earlier, but even if you heard it before, and even if you've heard it before in your life, it's worth remembering what it used to be like. And I especially do this for millennials, some Xers, but mainly millennials and Zoomers, as to what it used to be like. There was great competition between Ronald Reagan and the incumbent Jimmy Carter. I mean, there was competition, you know. I mean, Jimmy Carter, God bless him, Jimmy Carter was not appreciated as president. He was a very, very smart man. But he had such a demeanor, he had such a quiet demeanor, that he wasn't, I don't think he was an effective leader. But Jimmy Carter was an answer to what America wanted after Watergate. After Watergate, after this man, Richard Nixon, who had abused his power, America wanted somebody more demure. And Jimmy Carter perfectly fit that persona. And he became president. Who did he beat? He beat Gerald Ford, who became president after Nixon resigned because Gerald Ford was Nixon's vice president. And by the way, speaking of vice presidents and Gerald Ford, what did Gerald Ford do when he was vice president? You know, Kamala Harris has not been able, one of her failures has been to explain that vice presidents don't really have policies. And she was linked, the Republicans were smart to do this. She was linked to the Biden policies. But she was vice president. What could she do? Vice presidents don't really do anything. It's mostly ceremonial. But Jimmy Carter was an answer to Richard Nixon in Watergate. But Jimmy Carter was so ineffective. He was a one-term president. And Ronald Reagan, who was governor of California, had just great charisma. And even though Ronald Reagan was far from perfect and involved in some controversial things, Ronald Reagan did a lot to unite America. Ronald Reagan also became the president that represented the transition of the baby boomer generation from the radical, wild, liberal, anti-establishment generation of the 60s into conservatives. That generation evolved into being conservatives. And many baby boomers today who were very, very liberal in their youth, they're very conservative today. And that transition started to happen in the 80s, and it was that group, baby boomers, helped put Ronald Reagan in office. So let's go back to the eve of Election Day, the day before the election in 1980, and Ronald Reagan addressed his voters and the nation, and he said, "It is autumn now in Washington, and the residents there say that more than ever during the past few years, Americans are coming to visit their capital. Some say because economic conditions rule out more expensive vacations elsewhere. Some say an election year has heightened their interest in the workings of the national government. Others say something different. In a time when our values, when our place in history is so seriously questioned, they say Americans want their sons and daughters to see what they still want to see in them. And for so many millions in the world, a city that is offering the last best hope of man on earth." You can see these Washington visitors looking for the famous as they walk through the congressional hallways, as they return silent and tight-lipped from the tour buses that brought them for a walk through the rows of white crosses in the Arlington Cemetery. You can see them as they look up at the towering statue of Jefferson, or out from the top of the Washington Monument, or as they read the words inscribed at the Lincoln Memorial, "Let us bond the nation's wounds." These visitors to that city on the Potomac do not come as white or black, red or yellow. They are not Jews or Christians, conservatives or liberals, Democrats or Republicans. They are Americans, awed by what has gone before, proud of what, for them, is still a shining city on a hill. At this very moment, some young Americans coming along the Virginia and Maryland shores of the Potomac is seeing for the first time the lights that glow on the great halls of our government and the moments to the memory of great men. Let us resolve tonight that young Americans will always see these Potomac lights, that they will always find there a city of hope in a country that is free. Let us resolve that we will say our day and our generation, that we did keep faith with our God, that we did act worthy of ourselves, and that, what a time for that to go off. And it was just a stupid survey. Let me just start that part again. And let us resolve. Again, this is Ronald Reagan. This is a contrast to what we heard yesterday on the campaign trail. Ronald Reagan said, "And let us resolve that we will say our day and our generation that we did keep our faith with God, and that we act worthy of ourselves, and that we did protect and pass on lovingly that shining city on a hill." Contrast that to what we heard up to the end of the campaigning yesterday. That is posted on our website, WWL.com, also on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, where you can comment on it. And if you want to join us this afternoon, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. We're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back. We got to do the text results. I got all wrapped up in all of that. So we did a different text today. It was a fun text. It was the two big hits by Rick Astley. Which one of the two songs is better? Song A, Never Gonna Give You Up, or Song B, Together Forever? So which one was it, Ian? All right, Never Gonna Give You Up. This was the winning song, Song A. Never Gonna Give You Up, beat Together Forever as the best Rick Astley hit. All right, thanks for participating in the great Tuesday Text Off. If you're on hold, hang on. More of your calls and more of your texts coming up next. I'm Scoot on the Air on WWL. And what we're experiencing now is really not America to me. I mean, this is not America. I hope we get back to being America. But we're not America right now. Tucker Carlson has made a connection between abortion rights and hurricanes. He said you can't participate in human sacrifice without consequences. What Tucker Carlson doesn't know is having an abortion at a certain time is not a human sacrifice. And he refers to an abortion as child sacrifice. It's not. It is not legally. It is not medically. Now, Tucker Carlson made these comments on Steve Bannon's War Room show. So that explains a lot. Tucker Carlson, Steve Bannon, War Room. Tucker Carlson also said the purpose of voting machines is to steal elections from Republicans. Why aren't the Republicans smart enough to get the voting machines to cheat for them? Are Democrats smarter than Republicans? Are Republicans too dumb to cheat at elections? Because we know they would, if they could. I mean, why would just the Democrats cheat? Why don't the Republicans do it? If it's so easy to cheat, why don't Republicans do it? Basically, Republicans are saying, we're not smart enough. The Democrats are smart enough to figure this out. We can't do it. See, I don't believe that's true. And Tucker Carlson said that he has every reason to be suspicious of electronic voting machines. The problem with him saying that is he's obviously forgotten about what happened to Fox News when Fox News promoted that same concept. Fox News had to pay dearly, close to $1 billion, because Fox News was talking about the Dominion voting machines being biased. And Tucker Carlson is continuing along these lines. It'd be great if Tucker Carlson gets sued, but, you know, he'll probably get away with it. But it doesn't mean that anybody should believe him. Also, I guess you've noticed on all of the news channels, Fox, CNN, and MSNBC, things are getting very, very chippy. They were chippy last night, and they're chippy this morning. And, you know, this has really been an amazing experience. Let's get back to your calls. Let's go to Baton Rouge. Emmett, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Scoop, for taking my call. I listen to your station all the time. You and Mr. Yule, I think his name is. Different time. Yeah, and you and I are in the same era. I may be a couple of years older than you, but I always listen. You have such a balanced way of viewing things and opinionizing about things in a very fair way. And people who were born and raised in our era, and I'm an old military guy. By the way, I'm an independent. I'm a registered independent who supported Trump the first time. But I'm a military guy as well, and I'm very aware of the things that he did and said, you know, about our military servicemen and women. And, I mean, there's no moral equivalent between Donald Trump and the current Democratic nominee. There's no moral equivalent. Equivalent there. You know what I think about often is the fact that a lot of people who support Donald Trump, I have a feeling for some of them. I mean, I know some of them have an agenda, but most of them don't have an agenda. They're ordinary American citizens with families and everything, and particularly the people I see and be around in the New Orleans, extraterritorial areas, and even when I travel to other states, they're all normal Americans. And we didn't have all this prior to Donald Trump coming in. As I said, I supported him at one time. When I got to studying him, I started to realize what was happening in our society. And actually, this person has studied Stalinism. He studied the Third Reich doctrine. He's been a student of that stuff, and he supports dictators, etc. And really, that's not where we are. There's nothing wrong with talking to these people, but we have a fundamental ethic in America that we stand for. Yeah. And now I'm thinking about the hundreds of thousands of troops that we have in Europe and other parts of the world that are on guard to stand against Russia and all its axes of evil, the things that they're doing. So my heart goes out to people who support him and his endeavors. He's caused some things in his country, and I'm really sorry to see happening. And I'm feeling more for the people I know, yeah. Many, many people. In my view, it's not a purely racial thing, although I'm an African-American. I don't look at it like that. I've seen too many soldiers, black and white, particularly from the South, fight and die together. I mean, to me, it's a whole different perspective. So what I'm saying is, it's interesting how people could call in and support things that he's doing and the the lies that he's telling about these other people from these other countries. They're mere immigrants, many of them, and they're migrating to this country for different, immigrating to this country for different reasons, primarily to help raise their families. And he's using that as a tool to try to gain power. I find that very distasteful.
Emmett, listen, I appreciate your call, and I appreciate the kind words, and I'm glad that you're tuned in. We have a lot of listeners in Baton Rouge, and thanks for being with us. I would suggest to you that Donald Trump himself has not studied anything. I would suggest to you that Donald Trump is being told things by people like Stephen Miller who have studied those things. But Donald Trump himself, and again, this is just my opinion based on what I know of him and things that he has made public about himself, I don't get the feeling that he's really studied anything, but he is dictated words and concepts from people like Stephen Miller who have studied those things. From Waveland, Dottie, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hello, Scoop. I wanted to say, first of all, I remember going with my mother for the first time FDR was elected as president. So I've gone through a lot of presidents. But Reagan and Kennedy are two that I think we should mention, because both of them brought up the people of the United States. Kennedy, when he said, let's know what you don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country.
That's right.
And then the statement you've already replayed about Reagan. Both of those men brought up our people. They were so proud of our country. Today, we're not proud of our country. And I don't think the world is proud of us either. But at those times, they were.
Yeah, and well, go ahead. Go ahead, Dottie.
I was going to say, I think that the young people need to have some good people that can bring them up, because we had the Peace Corps, and they young people went out and worked in other countries and all. And I think if we could do something like that again, it would bring us again together rather than tearing us apart.
It would be nice if we can find somebody like that to run for office again. But the candidates are a reflection of the country. And these two candidates reflect who we are as a nation. And I'm embarrassed. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud of this country. This is a great country. But I'm embarrassed by this entire election cycle. But we can do better. Let's just live through this, and we will live through this. No matter who wins, we're going to live through this. We'll get through it. And trust me, there will be more to talk about after this election than there has been leading up to the election. If you're on hold, hang on. We're coming right back with more of your comments. And I just remind you that this day, Election Day, is about one thing. You have power with your vote. Even in a red state, you've got to exercise your right to vote, even if you know who's going to win the 9 electoral votes of Louisiana. It is important for you to exercise that right as an American. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, so who do you think is going to win the election? You know, there were some predictions from some credible pollsters leading up to the election saying they believe it could be a landslide in the Electoral College. What's going to happen tonight? What are we going to know tomorrow? Tune in tomorrow. And I love that we're going to be live at the grand opening of Bonvenue Bank. Bonvenue Bank, it's on Belchase Highway in Gretna. It's the grand opening. We're going to be there live, and we're going to talk about the election. We'll talk about what this new bank and the grand opening means to Gretna. And I'm excited to be there. Plus, you know, if you get a chance to stop by It gives me a chance to put a face with the audience. So, you know, I love meeting all of you. Let's go to Ian with a couple of your text messages, and then we're going to get to some of your calls.
Here's a text message that says, excuse me, Scoot, I love you, but I have to disagree with you. If Trump does even a few of the things that he's threatened, the country will never be the same, because this time there are no sensible people in his planned administration to hold him back. People like Vance and Kennedy are more maniacal than Trump is. And that is from Bubbles.
Yeah, well, Bubbles, I do get that. And by the way, you know that that Republican who is with the FCC? He's on the FCC panel. And he was bringing up all of that stuff about, oh, Kamala Harris, it was unfair. It was unfair that she was on Saturday Night Live. The fact that a Republican is on that panel, what Trump is going to do if he wins is he's going to get rid of every Republican. I'm sorry, he's going to get rid of every Democrat. So Joe Biden should have got rid of that guy, kicked him off because he was a Republican. But see, that's not what past presidents have done. They have allowed some people to remain in place, even though they were from the other party. What Donald Trump plans on doing is wiping out every Democrat, getting rid of all of them, so there are nothing but sycophants and yes people in place. And one thing that scares me is that Donald Trump is going to set things up as president to where it's going to be harder to get him to leave. And he said the other day that he's sorry that he even left office in 2021.
Here's a text that says, I have a Republican friend that believes the theory that Democrats are pushing hurricanes where they want to mine lithium. So today I texted him and I told him, hey, we got a hurricane out in the Gulf getting wound up, just ready to go, depending on who wins.
You know, it's so funny. And really, how unusual is this? You know, again, as I said the other day, you want to start stacking up the reasons for the end of the world coming and all the signs. A hurricane in the Gulf, November the 5th, on Election Day. I mean, this is really kind of crazy. The good news is it's going to meet with shear, and the wind shear is going to kind of knock it down to where it's going to be some thunderstorms wherever it hits, apparently. All right, let's go to the Ninth Ward. Dell, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how you doing, man?
I'm good.
Hope all is well. Two things I want to touch on. I know you have a lot of people waiting. One, I've heard it said before, and I heard you mention it, that Kamala Harris was just the vice president. She didn't have any type of stroke of power. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, I mean, basically, vice presidents are ceremonial positions. I mean, they don't have a lot of power. They're not involved in a lot of policy making. They can support, I guess, the president. I guess they just naturally support the president, but they don't have a lot of policy making power.
So although I've heard that many, many times in so many debate panels, I'm just waiting on Kamala Harris to reflect that in any debate or anything that she is given from a stage. She doesn't say that.
I agree.
Everything that she mentions, she mentioned as if she was the person that was in a position of making that decision.
And I think that's been a mistake. I think it's been a mistake.
We either need to pick a struggle. Either she didn't have any power, or we need to tell her to reflect that in her statements.
Well,
there's nothing that would hurt her by saying that, hey, I wasn't in the position to make the decision, but here's what I'll do. And I've researched it. She hasn't reflected that in any of her addresses on stage.
I agree with you, but I've said really throughout this process that she's made a mistake in not distancing herself from Joe Biden, because Joe Biden wasn't doing that well against Trump when he was the candidate. So what advantage does she have of being dependent on the policies of Joe Biden? None.
Mm-hmm. So in the last thing, you mentioned when I first got opened up the show and was listening, you said one of the parties was doing something to America. But you didn't specifically say which party it was, nor did you give any specificity as to what the party was actually doing.
Well, I don't remember exactly what I said, so it's going to be hard for me to bring back that. But Dale, I'm glad you called the show. Let's go to West Wego. John, you're on WWL. Hello, John. Okay, let's go to Irvin in Hammond. Irvin, you're on WWL.
Hey, Scoot.
Yes.
Like tens of millions on both sides, I bit my bottom lip as I voted today. I voted for Trump, and these are two of the weakest candidates I've seen in my lifetime. Now, to my fellow Republicans, if we lose the president election tonight or whenever it's decided, one of the main causes will be January the 6th, which the Democrats played well, as we would have if it would have been the shoe on the other foot. So let's make sure that there's no shenanigans that can be used against the Republican candidate in 2028. The last thing I'll say, if I have a choice between a Trump president and the Republicans flipping the Senate, I will pick the Republicans flipping the Senate in a second. Let's remember that the Senate approves cabinet positions, department heads, ambassadors, federal judges, including any Supreme Court justice that comes up. They approve top military commanders, including the joint chiefs of staff. So the Senate, and that's what's great about our government, it's the balance of power. The Senate controls a lot of power in government. So if I have a choice, if we flip the Senate Republican, I'll be okay with that.
Irvin, I'm glad you called the show. I like a balance of power, but if there's a balance of power, nothing gets done. I want to mention that Lyft is offering 50% off up to $10 if you get a ride to go vote. So if you need a ride to vote, and by the way, today on Election Day, all of the RTA vehicles, from the ferry to the buses to the streetcar, all of them are free. And Lyft is offering 50% off, up to $10 off, if you need a ride to go vote. All right. I want to remind you, if you haven't voted yet, that when you talk about term limits, remember, every Election Day, you have a chance to administer term limits. The problem is people talk about term limits, but they don't use the power they have to limit the terms by voting out their person, their guy, their woman. You hang on to that person because you think, well, they've got power. Let's hang on to them. They've got seniority. The problem is everybody does that. And we, as the American voters, don't exercise our right to limit terms. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back. All right. We will wrap up the election. We'll talk about what we know tomorrow on the show. Tune in. Join us live from Bonvenue Bank in Gretna. Sports Talk with Bobby, Mike, and Steve coming up next. I want to thank our program director and brand manager, Diane Newman, assistant program director, brand manager, senior producer of our show, Ian Hoke, market manager, Dan Barron, news anchor, Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. As always, I thank all of you for being part of our show. I'm Scoot. God bless America. Love you, New Orleans.